This week on Decentralize, we're joined by Andre Blues, the Bitcoin Bull in St. Petersburg, Florida, Slur.io, and a message from the president.
I'm Tony Sakic.
I'm Eric Martindale.
I'm James Walpole.
I'm Andre Blues.
And this is Decentralize. All right, guys, it's Merry Christmas for all of us. We're here in Florida in St. Petersburg, the day after the Bitcoin Bull. Many of us have brought our families here. So I think just to kind of kick this off with something a little fun, I think we've all decided to sing our about 10 seconds of our favorite Christmas carol all at once. Now, we haven't prearranged this in any way, so it's going to be a cacophony of disaster. All right, you guys ready? One, two, three.
Dashing through the snow, jingle bell sing and jingle bell ring.
Dashing through the snow, what a wondrous open sleigh.
All right, that was about as bad as it gets. Excellent, excellent.
This is why we're technology podcasters.
Thank you guys so much for joining in. So we just got done with the Bitcoin Bowl. Tons of people, NC State and the University of Central Florida, met in the termination of their season this year. NC State has won. What'd you guys think? Andre, you were one of the attendees. What'd you think this year?
It was great. It was fantastic. I love college football. It's my favorite sport to watch and to attend, and particularly interesting to me because I went to Georgia Tech. NC State, the ACC team here. That was kind of the team that I was going for. So that was
excellent.
A really good treat to see them play.
Fantastic. So what do you think of the coverage, the exposure that Bitcoin's going to get as a result of this?
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. I think this was a great way to expose and to get the name out there and to for people who wouldn't necessarily come into contact with it, right? The kind of sports fans who aren't necessarily interested in the more technology-heavy aspect in niche markets and that kinds of thing. It was a fantastic way to reach that market.
Excellent, excellent. And James, it was broadcast on ESPN. I found a lot of people were commenting that it was the only bowl game on TV that day, so there was a lot of eyeballs on it. Do we have any idea of what those numbers looked like?
Yeah, I was watching. Actually, I was watching social media all for the entirety of the game. Actually, football makes me a bit uncomfortable, but definitely, I think being around Bitcoin was definitely the most exciting part of the evening. And seeing on social media all of the interaction. A lot of the social campaigns that were going on for BitPay and for ChainShift and the other companies involved in the game really engaged new users. Some people were bewildered, some people were being kind of trolly, but I think overall there's a lot of interest in the game and a lot of interest in Bitcoin. In fact, before the game, sort of in the fan zone that was set up, where a lot of Bitcoin companies were displaying their products and their technologies, little kids were coming up to me and telling me how interesting they thought Bitcoin was.
Oh, cool.
And I guarantee you that Chick-fil-A or these other sponsors of these bowl games rarely have people coming up to them and telling them how interesting their product or their company is. This is a very unique thing. I mean, BitPay, the startup that sponsored the game, that is new in itself. I mean, the idea of a startup sponsoring a game, of a technology being the focus of this, that definitely engaged people both on social media and on the ground. But I think the biggest impact was through ESPN and the fact that this was really front and center for people.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it absolutely awesome that there's now a chance for this sort of more technical thing to get in front of all of these people who are just thinking about football. They're college football fans. They've probably heard the word Bitcoin. They've probably understood maybe a little bit I heard the CEO of Bitcoin died, right? Like, I mean, okay, great. I wonder, though, is this going to cause maybe Bitcoin to go from the fourth most searched term to maybe second or even first in 2015? Because I don't know that there was a lot of effort put forward to sort of educate about the technical pieces. What actually is Bitcoin, right? Did you feel that way at all?
Yeah, I definitely think there are always things that can be done better. That really educating is the best way to do it, and there were a lot of good efforts at the stadium, both in terms of visibility in the commercials, and in the Why Bitcoin magazines that were handed out to many of the attendees. But there is always a need to explain this in the easiest way possible and the most relevant way possible. I think it would have been interesting to see a a way of analogizing Bitcoin, the technology, to football for these football fans. Because these guys were into it. And maybe not so much me, but these guys were into it. And finding a way to relate to the drunken football fans and the sports fans and, the you know, showing the UCF and the NC State fans what this is all about, why this is important to them, and why it's not just another football game.
Yeah.
That will be the thing to do. But I think, you know, for what it was, Bitcoin Bowl is going to be extremely important for the name recognition of Bitcoin, which is half the battle. I mean, once people actually know that this is something that is out there, that it has some legitimacy, it has, you know, it has an important and, you know, human face to it, that is half the battle in terms of education.
So what was really cool in terms of just like showing like the Dropbox demo moment was the Bitcoin Bowl hashtag. There was sort of a bunch of people out there giving tips for using the Bitcoin Bowl hashtag, and that's like a real world use case. Andre, did you guys get in on that at all?
Yeah. I was giving out a couple tips. There were people tweeting about like how somebody made a joke about a virtual beer, and I thought it was great, and so I said, "Here, I'll help," and you know, gave them some Bitcoin for
you,
that.
Did you send them? Did you tip them a virtual beer in change tip?
No, I didn't have I didn't have that set up.
Yeah, well, the change tip integration I think worked really well. Looking at the Bitcoin Bowl hashtag as sort of the tip sort of went out, you could see the volume really, really start to spike. And I don't know what the numbers were in terms of like how many tips were actually issued using change tip. Do you have any idea?
I have no numbers on that. I do know we involved, and we should definitely give a shout out to Tony Sokic for this. He really coordinated this entire effort and for BitPay and for with change tip. We brought on people like Andreas Antonopoulos, Shooter Jennings. They were all tweeting about 5 times per minute with these change chips. So we can only imagine what that's like. And Chaz as well. Chaz here at my right.
I was sitting next to him the entire game, next to Chaz the entire game. And he literally wasn't even watching the game. He was just on his phone the entire time.
Making it rain on the Twitters. Yeah.
And Tony, you were saying, Tony didn't even make it to the game. Tony was outside the game on his laptop. Just going nuts.
He was heroic. He did a heroic job with this, and we're sorry we don't have him on the podcast, but we'll be sure to be asking about this.
Yeah, well, he deserves the rest.
He does.
So. It was a lot of hard work. So in addition to the Bitcoin Bowl, we had some really some interesting stuff come out over the past couple weeks since we did our last podcast. Most interestingly was Slur.io. Now, James, you brought this to me and showed me, and I saw it come across my desk, but I wasn't quite sure what it was until I read about it, and apparently it is a decentralized version of WikiLeaks. What do you guys think about this? This is getting kind of crazy. We're going back into the territory where Bitcoin's being used for these other uses, questionable uses. This is one that I think I could probably get behind, but what do you make of it?
Yeah, with anything decentralized, it's hard to put a valuation behind it in an ethical sense, because it can be used for good or for bad, you know? It can be used to hurt people or to reveal secrets that should not be kept secret. I think the good that this can do is probably far outweighs the bad, especially if it does serve a purpose of a decentralized WikiLeaks. Again, it really all depends upon the users. And I do think the fact that right now decentralized technology is the haven for people who believe in, you know, personal liberty and privacy, and all these things which have been so important to the, you know, cypherpunks, to the people who developed these technologies in the first place. That is encouraging. And I think Slur.io, I mean, anything decentralized, a marketplace like that is a very interesting test case for what could be used as anything else, except for trading goods, like we talked to Sam of Open Bazaar. We're seeing all these implementations, and they're all being tested in different ways and in different markets. So this is a very exciting development, I think.
Yeah. Don't you think they could have picked maybe a better name? Or is Slur really getting at the heart of what they're trying to do? I'm fully behind that. What do you think, Andre?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great name. It definitely has an emotional...
Yeah.
Evoking some kind of emotional response behind the name. I mean, I'm going to play the devil's advocate behind it. Like, do you... I only read about it for about 10 seconds before we came on the podcast, but do you know who organized it?
No, I still can't figure out who's behind it. I looked at on their GitHub, and there's a user on GitHub called U99, and they have like two other repositories.
Yeah, so that kind of, you know, raises a couple red flags in my head of it not being run particularly well. So one of the reasons that WikiLeaks works really well and the Edward and Snowden reveals worked really well is that they were curated, right? Mm. So it's not just... WikiLeaks is a little bit more of a shotgun approach. Like, here's a whole bunch of stuff all at once. But it's still curated. They don't release absolutely everything that comes across their desk.
Sure.
So it would be... It would be in the interest of Slur.io to adopt the same kind of attitude of releasing things. So if this is a decentralized kind of thing, it might not be in their best interest and in everyone's best interest to just have an open table, basically, that's sitting there of, hey, someone just uploaded this, now everyone has access to it.
Right.
There might be some kind of gatekeeper that might be necessary for that kind of
thing.
You
know, I think actually the fact that this is a marketplace now, you're introducing incentives and kind of a marketplace for these secrets will actually be the best kind of incentive for curation. You're going to have journalists going to the site and looking for the best information, selecting it, you know, running it, basically running it through sort of their qualifications. You're going to have organizations like WikiLeaks also gaining from this. So I do think, I definitely understand the concern, but I think in a lot of ways, taking secrets out of the commons or out of even the nonprofits realm and putting it sort of into the for-profit realm could have interesting results in terms of this incentive. So, like I said, either for good or for bad, but I do think curation won't be a problem. We're seeing now, you know, with a marketplace, you're going to have entrepreneurs for secrets.
Well, the other thing here is, yeah, I like that it's sort of encouraging these people to, like, you know, find the market rate for what is the information they're selling. But the hard part here is, how do you ensure that what they're selling hasn't already been sold before? Right, you know, as the amount of information is rapidly expanding because of the internet and the availability of, you know, high bandwidth information transfer, how do you know that what you're selling and what you're getting back isn't already released somewhere? Right,
I mean,
is there an exclusivity?
Easy concept to do, right?
Is it
an escrow? Yeah, with some sort of escrow.
So then I get the documents, and then I agree that, you know...
Within 24 hours, the funds get released to me unless some sort of miraculous thing happens.
I see.
Some sort of, no, these have been released, and I can prove it by leaking it to something else.
Sure.
Within some set period of time.
Yeah, or like, what happens when you have the full contents of the WikiLeaks cables? They've already been out for a long time, and maybe this is a place where the curators will come to this platform, and the ones who are really doing a good job at picking and choosing the things that they want to release... Maybe they develop a reputation system of some sort. Is that something that you guys see as sort of developing here?
Yeah, reputation systems are very important for these sort of things. And I do think we'll see that probably develop on top of this as it goes forward. It's very early on probably in the project. I think Andre had a really good point that the name itself does sort of give a vibe of having a very iconoclastic purpose for this. Whether that's good or whether that's definitely kind of a way they want to move forward in terms of being, you know, being really kind of a bad actor, it's hard to tell. But we have seen some, you know, some very interesting projects like Dark Wallet and Dark Market from people who are iconoclasts, you know. So it's hard to say, but I do think, like you said, reputation will be very important. The fact that it's decentralized means that this project, you know, it may be forked, and you may see, you know, sort of projects more geared toward having curation or having, you know, good reputation. Or having, you know, a very specific political purpose.
It certainly strikes me, speaking of the name specifically, it strikes me as the same way that the Pirate Bay, the name kind of evokes a come and get me kind of attitude. And Slur kind of makes me think of the same kind of attitude that these guys would have.
Yeah.
And like you said, it could be forked, it could be a mirror could be set up with just a different name that isn't so antagonistic, maybe. That may or may not end up doing the same or worse or better.
Yeah.
But the possibility is there.
So reading here on their website, it does say, the U99 group consists of 9 cryptographers and software developers. We see disruptive technology as a counterbalance in the class war. By April 2015, it'll be available. Help us pay for the next 6 months of development, and we will deliver an unprecedented information weapon. So I think you hit the nail right on the head. They've got the attitude. They're really marching out there with their flag held high. And I love that. I really do. They even recommend, you know, using Dark Wallet to fund them. Like, they're making a statement about which wallet you should use, you know, to make those payments. So hey, maybe I'm willing to bet it's Amir Taki, maybe Cody Wilson, a couple of these other individuals who've really produced some of these interesting pieces of tech in the past that are pushing this one.
I think it takes that kind of attitude to launch projects like these early on. Like, you know, the initial, the alphas, you know, these are the people who are going to be exposing themselves to the most risk. Satoshi Nakamoto, I mean, there's a reason he's anonymous. The people who build, you know, alternate versions, the altcoins, most of those founders are not really anonymous, and there's a reason for that. They didn't take the initial risk. That may be one way of understanding this, the reason they're kind of taking this approach, the reason they're, you know, the founders have this kind of attitude.
Yeah.
So we're definitely glad to have it.
It's interesting that it's written in C, which is curious to me, because I'm trying to figure out who out there do I, in the community, in the space, do I know that would have started this project in C? And
someone who wants it to be around for quite a while and not just be a fashion statement?
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I'm speaking as a developer, and writing in something that's proven and stable and fashion,
sure.
That strikes me as someone who actually knows what the hell they're
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely. Okay, so wouldn't you use C++ for this, so you have the additional support of these other structures and...
Sure, I mean, that's just comes down to preference, right? It's not really six one way, half a dozen the other,
sure.
With C and C++, but,
yeah.
I mean, if you really want to kind of, not necessarily reinvent the wheel,
sure.
But if you really want to, sure, do it in C.
Yeah,
I
mean, interesting, whatever. Interesting. All right, so let's see, do we have any other subjects we want to talk about before we get into our message from the president?
I think I'm very much interested in your message.
I'm excited. I'm ready for this.
Well, so in this on Christmas Eve, you know, it's sort of a tradition in my family and certainly many others to sort of recite, you know, a visit from St. Nicholas or do carols or something similar. And I just, being in Atlanta and, you know, not away from my family for the Bitcoin Bowl, I just thought that, you know, I wanted to write something new that was supportive of this sort of new family that we've all sort of developed here. And in that spirit, I wrote a message from the president, pretty much a mirror of a visit from St. Nick. And if you guys want to spare a few minutes, I'm going to read it off for you all. All right? 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the net, all the miners a-whirring, even Arduino once set. The Patascript hashes were set up with care, in hopes that entropy soon would be theirs. The Doge were posting, all cued in their memes, while visions of moon landings played out in their themes. The speculators with their charts, and I with my stash, transactions and messages we all did hash. When out on the free net there arose such a clatter, I fired up my Tor client to see what was the matter. On to IRC I authenticated with my key, my chat rooms they opened to find what I could see. The messages of moon flew past with such haste, I could only conclude that it was all copy-paste. The news it had landed, I could not believe. Governments to dissolve, the world to be freed. With my warm little treasure, so lively and quick, I thought for a moment that it must be a trick. Faster than fiber, the prices did rise. It must be true, the free markets did surmise. They had drafted a bit message to the banks it had been spread. We reject your debt-backed money, it even said. It was happening, I just couldn't believe, yet there was his signature, the president's own GPG. Of Turing and Zimmerman, of Diffie and Hellman, of Koblitz and Miller and Merkel alike, of Rothbard and Mises, of Bastiat and Hayek, of course Baum Bauerk I too like, of Orwell, of Huxley and Bradbury too, of Gibson and Stevenson, the futures you all knew. Of back of Szabo and all in between, Satoshi is in all us, it does in fact seem. These ideas were sound, we do finally see, let the future of humanity be entirely free. With face aghast, it was there I sat. What had been written, it couldn't be that. Charlie and Ross, all charges they dropped, Manning and Assange, their message not forgot. All cabals disbanded, all assets to be released. Media, health, and education. Free markets, no longer policed. To speak our minds, share our thoughts, and no longer protect. Finally, free speech for all on this new internet. All trade to be freed, no crimes to be had, no permission to seek, no laws to make us mad. Central planning gone wrong, the people would fix. Once and for all, we'd finally mix. Just like that, with the click of a mouse, outwards like wildfire, the governments did espouse. One by one, they followed the lead. Onwards to liberty, they marched with speed. They stepped out of the way of the people's desires. The smaller they became, the fewer the fires. until after it was all said and done, no more states, no more wars to be won. I thought back to when it all happened. The idea of authority, it got me a-laughin'. As I sat there thinking in the month of December, that it's history we must always remember. Weary and tired we were, quite a long road it had been, but vindicated we became as someone clicked send. For liberty is action, free from constraint, within the limits of our peers, not laws someone did paint. And that's that, and with that I think we're going to wrap this up.
I think we have a poet laureate on our hands.
No, hardly. It's amateur hour when I put pen to paper. But I appreciate you guys listening, and thank you all for joining us on the Christmas edition of the Decentralized Podcast.
Merry Christmas to all, or shall I say Merry Bitmas.
Merry Bitmas.